Amen. Let's turn tonight. We're only going to cover a couple of psalms. I won't keep you all night tonight. We're going to be in Psalm 88 and Psalm 89. We're going to be talking about our faithful God tonight. And in Psalm 88, let me start off and look at it. It says, a song. And this is an incredible song. It's a song like you have never heard in your life, okay? It says, a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah to the chief musician set to Mahalalith Leonoth. If you think I pronounced that right, you're wrong. Now, we don't know what that really means. It may be called the dance of affliction. And it says it's a contemplation, or literally an instruction, if you will, of Heman the Ezraite. So we're not sure exactly who he is, but there is a part of the Bible that tells us that this particular name, he was a very gifted man and he was a very wise man. Now listen carefully as we set up this psalm. The psalm that we are going to just go through tonight, this first one, has been called the saddest psalm in all of the psalms, okay? And it is. It's Psalm 88 is like one unbroken moan and cry, and it's just full of gloom, and it's an ongoing prayer of one who is constantly suffering, constantly going through affliction. And the only note of joy that we find in this entire psalm is in verse 1 when he starts out his song, or literally his cry, his prayer. Look at it in verse 1. He says, O Lord, God of my salvation. That's it. That's the only note of joy in this psalm. And then he starts. He says, I have cried out day and night before you. Before you meaning I'm in your presence. I'm crying out right there. I know that you're here. I know that you're with me. And he's saying, why don't you answer me? If you looked up the word cried in Hebrew, it literally means I am making a loud scream unto you, O God. He says, day and night. He says, and so that constantly, he's in an ongoing struggle, and he's trying to understand why God has not answered his prayer. And he says, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. And here's the reason why now. For my soul is full of what? Troubles. Soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my entire being. I'm overflowing with troubles, God. And my life draws near to the grave. He says, I'm on the very edge of the grave. I'm ready to die. And I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man who has no strength, or literally like I'm good as dead. And he says, adrift among the dead. What a saying. Adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all of your ways. Selah. Is that the saddest thing you have ever heard? Adrift, he says, adrift among the dead. He said, I am like a lifeless corpse, O God. And no wonder, you know, this psalm here, it's called a song. Now listen, you know how we put music to psalms? Don't do this one with this one, okay? This is depressing me just reading it. Do you understand? I mean, this is sadder than the saddest country song I've ever heard. You know, I mean, listen, you know, I remember riding around when I was younger, listening to Hank Williams, you know. Yeah, Hank, you know, hear that. Remember that one? You don't even know what it is, do you? Remember, hear that lonesome whippoorwill, remember? Oh, never mind. That is a sad song. I could listen to that on the way home and start crying right now. Remember, I'm so lonesome I could cry? Okay, never mind. Verse 8. He says, you've put away, or you've taken away my acquaintances. He's blaming God now. He says, far from me. He says, I'm deserted, O Lord, I'm in need. I don't even have a friend, and right now I need a friend. You know, when you're down like he is, man, you need a friend, amen? And he says, oh, listen, you have made me an abomination to them, meaning to my friends. I'm an abomination. I'm an unclean thing. I'm a disgusting thing, he's saying. And he says, I'm shut up and I cannot get out. Now, this makes me think, and I'm not saying I'm right, but it makes me think that it's like a leper. You see, he's suffering maybe from leprosy. He's not allowed. He's unclean. He can't go among anyone. But I don't know if that's the case. We're not told. He says, my eye wastes away because of affliction or misery. He says, oh, Lord, I've called daily upon you. I've stretched out my hands to you, and will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? And he says, Selah. It's like he pauses. He's looking at his own tombstone, if you will. He's sitting on the edge of the grave, and he's pondering all the things that he just said to Almighty God. But that's a great question, what he said. He said, will you work wonders among the dead or for the dead? Aren't you glad that Jesus told us that in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. Amen? Thank God for that. He says, shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? And look at verse 13. But to you I've cried out, O Lord, and in the morning, my prayer comes before you or into your presence. Now, beginning in verse 9, the psalmist, he had six sad, heartbreaking questions to God. Let me ask you a question. You know, we all have difficult days, don't we? All of us. We're not immune from tragedy or any of those things. This is life. But you know, what do you do in difficult days? And what do you do as this person? What do you do when you feel that God has forgotten all about you? Now, we know that's not true, but aren't feelings strange? I mean, listen, you can feel guilt, or you can feel fear and so forth. And so, you know, what do you do when you cry out to God like he does, night and day in and day out, and your prayers are unanswered? You know what you do? You do what he did. He refused to quit praying. Amen? And that is so vital. Man, listen, the reason he knew that is didn't stop praying was because he knew that God was his only hope. You know, remember what Jesus told us to do? Jesus told us that we ought to always pray. Amen? Luke 18:1, let me read it to you. It says, and then Jesus, he spake a parable unto them, meaning his disciples, and to us as well. He says that men always ought always to pray and not lose heart, not give up, don't faint, don't become discouraged. Now listen to me. You know it, I know it, that prayer is the work. And if you have not prayed, you are unprepared to face the day. Did you know that? If you have not prayed, I'm telling you, you're unprepared for the very next hour. What did James tell us in James 4:2? You have not because you ask not. You know, prayer is also a form of protection, isn't it? And you know, so many people they pray, or they put on the armor of God, but they fail to put on the last piece of the armor of God, and they wonder why when they go into a battle they're being defeated. And it's because they didn't put on the last piece of armor. Let me read it to you. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all of the saints. So Jesus tells us about prayer. The same thing this guy here was doing. He says, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to let up. I'm not going to faint. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to do any of those things. That's what you call persistent praying. Amen? Never giving up. Keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on asking, and so forth. Listen, we give up sometimes. We give up too soon on our prayers. You know, your prayers are always alive at the throne of grace. Did you know that? When you pray, they in other words, sometimes God says, okay, the prayer is answered. Sometimes he says later on, or sometimes he says just wait. But what we need to do is always be persistent in our praying. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly, meaning never give up, in prayer, vigilant in it with thanksgiving. David cries out in Psalm 55:16, as for me, I will call upon the Lord, or I will pray to the Lord. and the Lord shall save me, evening, morning, noon. That's what you call persistent prayer, amen? He says, I will pray and cry aloud to you. Now look at verse 14 with me. He says, Lord, why do you cast off my soul, and why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted, and this is so sad. He says, I'm ready to die. I've been ready to die. Look at that. From my youth, from my teenage years. He says, I suffer your terror or your terrible things. He says, I'm distraught. Literally, I can't take it anymore. He says, I am finished. You know, the Bible, this psalm, we're so unsure of all of it, to be honest with you. But can you imagine this guy right here? I mean, his whole life has been spent at the point of death. That's a long time, isn't it? You know, day after day. And I mean, here's a person who has faith in God, suffered his entire life, but he won't quit praying. You know, remember what it says in Romans 5 about that we glory in tribulation? You know, it's easy to glory in tribulation when you feel good, when you have money in your pocket, you know, when everything is going okay and you're in tribulation. But when you are weak, when you're exhausted, when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, when you don't know, you have no friends that are left like this man. See, a lot of people think this was Job or maybe Hezekiah, you know, or even Jeremiah in the pit and so forth. But we don't, or Uzzah, you know, we don't know who it is. We're not told. But I'll tell you this, this person right here is suffering. And he says in verse 16, he says, your fierce wrath has gone over me, or it literally, it overwhelms me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day like water, and they engulfed me altogether. He says, I'm like a man that's drowning, and there's no one to rescue me. There's no escape. He says, loved one and friend. And I wonder if the loved one is his wife. He says, loved one and friend. You have put far from me. In other words, they're so far away. And he says, my only friends or my only acquaintances are darkness. He says, when I look for a friend, somebody to love me, to help me, to do whatever is necessary, the only thing he says I see is darkness. So this psalm, whatever it's truly about, we know the points that I've made, of course, but it's just gloom, man. It is just a sad, sad psalm, and it ends with darkness. There's not one note of joy or hope, not a single ray of light. I mean, it's like a little child crying in the darkness for his father. This is indeed the saddest psalm in the Bible, and I can assure you that, and I mean this with not one judgment in our heart, I wonder how many pastors in the pulpit skip over that psalm. You know what I mean? I mean, not that I'm criticizing them, but you know, it is in the Bible, and that is a sad psalm, amen? But the next one, it gets a lot better. Let's look at it. Psalm 89, it says, a contemplation or instruction of Ethan the Ezrahite. So he's a singer there in the temple, a musician and so forth. So Psalm 89, now this is going to complete the third book in the book of Psalms, and it's literally it's a covenantal psalm, if you will. And the theme, of course, is that our God is faithful, or the faithfulness of God, because the faithfulness of God is mentioned 10 times in this psalm. And I'm not going to cover all the verses tonight. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord for how long? Forever. I'm going to sing about God's love, God's goodness, he says, and God's grace. He says, and man, with my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to how many generations? All generations. That means forever and ever. That's what we are to do. So we should sing sing about the faithfulness of God, and the reason is our God is faithful. Amen? He is always faithful. And you know what we need to do? Just what the psalmist said. We need to make that known to all generations, not about talking about how faithful we are, because we're not, but how faithful God is. He always is faithful. The Bible says, and let me give you a few scriptures. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful. The literal translation would read like this, faithful is God. He is always faithful. There's no, everything he does, he is faithful. Amen. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you, and that's God our Father, he says, is faithful, who will also do it. Do what? Well, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the faithful God. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but God is faithful, who will establish you. Don't you like that? He's the one who establishes you, not you. He says he will establish you, and he, it goes on, will guard you from the evil one. He sets a guard around you right now from the wicked one, the devil. Amen. He's guarding your life this very minute. Why? God is faithful. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is what? Faithful. Lord, I blew it. I drove on 820 twice today, and that, you know what that means. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was on 820 today. This is the truth. And so the lanes go down, you know what I mean? You have, and because of construction. So everybody gets into the third lane, and that's the lane that's closed. And so you have to merge and make everybody stop, and this is the truth. So a brand new, beautiful Corvette, you know what he does? I'm in the middle lane. There's a lane here, the third lane over here, it's closed. He gets into that lane because people keep going past us, you know, and go all the way down the end and then get over. You know what I'm talking about. Does that make sense? He just gets over there. He stops everybody. They can't do it. And then an 18-wheeler gets behind him, and he's going to try to go around him. He just goes right over. Man, that 18-wheeler, he lays on his horn for 20 minutes. You know, that Corvette never moved. My kind of man. That's the only time I've ever rejoiced on 820. You know what I mean? I don't know why I shared that with you. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, it says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. He can't deny who he is. He cannot deny his nature or his word. God is faithful. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and I love this, and feed on his faithfulness. What a word. Verse 2, he says, for I've said that mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens, and I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I've sworn to my servant David, your seed, talking about David now, your seed, David, I will establish how long? Forever, and build up your throne forever, or for all generations, Selah. Isn't it amazing how God chooses a person and chooses that person for his own plan? God says, he is David, he said, man, he is my chosen. He's the one I chose. He says, not only that, he's my servant. And he says, you know what? He made a promise to David. He said, listen, from you, David, from your seed will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Let me give you the promise from God to David. In 2 Samuel 7:16, it says, and your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever. I want to ask you a question. Does David, King David, does he have a descendant on the throne of Israel today? Is there a throne in Israel? Is there a temple in Israel? No, there's not. Does that mean that God has lied? No, God hasn't lied. Listen, let me read lengthy verses to you which need absolutely no commentary from me. In verse 5, it says, oh, in the heavens are literally all the heavenly beings. I will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness, also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? And who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord God of hosts, are literally the commanders of all the armies of heaven. He says, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness, there's those words over and over, your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab, that's literally Egypt, in pieces, and one who is slain. You've scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours. Amen to that. The earth is also yours, the world, all of its fullness. And here's the reason. You have founded them. You created them, in other words. The north and the south, you have created them. And look here, even the mountains. Tabor, Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand, and righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne, and mercy and truth go before your faith. And blessed are the people. Oh, how happy, blessed. Oh, how happy are the people who what? Who know the joyful sound, are literally those who know how to praise the Lord. He says, oh, they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Why did they do that? Because you know how to praise the Lord. Amen? He says, in your name they rejoice all the day along, and in your righteousness they are exalted, for you are the glory of their strength and your favor. Our horn is exalted, or literally our strength is exalted. It says, for our shield belongs to the Lord and our King to the Holy One of Israel. And the church says, amen. What a great word. No commentary needed there. Look at verse 19. Here it comes. Then you spoke a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to the one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen, God says, from the people. And here he is. I have found my servant David, and with my holy oil I have anointed him. You remember when Jesse and all the kids were lining up and Samuel comes in there to anoint David, remember that? With oil, because God had rejected King Saul and now David would be the king of Israel. It says, with whom my hand shall be established and my arm shall strengthen him. Again, is there a throne in Israel right now, in Jerusalem? Is there a temple there? No, not at all. Did God lie? No. Drop down to verse 27. He says, also I will make him, not David, but him, my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Who is the firstborn of God? Is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. He's the God-man. It says in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Colossians 1:18, he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Now look at verse 28. He says, my mercy shall keep him forever. And here it comes, my covenant, God says. My covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever. And we know that's Jesus Christ. And his throne as the days of heaven. Now, man, listen to this. It says, if his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes, if they do not keep my commandments, here's what God's going to do. Then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Did they forsake the Lord, his descendants? Yes, they did. But what did God do? Look at this. This is incredible. Verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness. In other words, once God does that, it can never be violated, okay? Once I have sworn by my holiness, look what he says. I will not lie to David. And here comes. His seed shall endure how long? Forever. And his throne as the sun before me, it shall be established forever like the moon, even the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. In other words, That's a good word indeed. We need to pause and we need to be in awe of the incredible word of God. Amen. Boy, we look at that and say, oh, Lord, that's your covenant. That's the promise you made to David and so forth. Listen, will God ever cast away his people, Israel? Never. Think about that. If you study everything out, I mean, did they disobey the Lord? Did they rebel against God? Did they even go into apostasy? Did God ever forsake them? Never. Did he discipline them? Absolutely. See, God is saying, okay, my people that are called by my name, meaning Israel there when he was talking about here, the seed of David. You guys may do this and do this, but listen, I'm the one that made the promise. And God is a God that cannot lie. Amen? Is there a descendant of David sitting on the throne of God right now? Yes. And you know where he's sitting? He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Amen? He's sitting right there next to God the Father. And you know what? One day he's going to come, the descendant of David, Jesus, the son of David. Think about it, the God-man, he's going to come, and he is going to sit on his throne in the rebuilt temple there in Jerusalem. Amen? What a day that is going to be. Why? Because God never, ever fails. Remember what the angel Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary? He says in Luke 1:30, he said, then the angel said to Mary, oh, Mary, do not be afraid, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Now listen, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, or the Son of God, equal with God, because he is God, all right? He says, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. What a promise. There it is. He says, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Loved one, listen to me. I've said this, you know, because we're in the Psalms, talks a lot about Israel, but God is not finished with Israel. Amen? Oh, no, there's always going to be a remnant, loved one. Boy, listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Was the virgin birth literal? Yes. Well, if the virgin birth was literal, so is the scripture I just read to you about our Savior. Amen? It's literal as well. Listen, the church has not replaced Israel, as some people teach us. No, there's no way. This scripture, it confirms that there's a future reign that's coming on this earth of Jesus Christ. And when does it happen? It happens at the second coming, when Jesus will sit upon the throne on this planet. Jeremiah 23:5, the prophet says, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will raise to David, there's that promise again, a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper, execute judgment and righteousness in the earth, not just Israel, but the whole earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. And now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. And that's the character of his kingdom. Perfect and righteous. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it, establish it. It says, forever and ever. Listen, we will witness that day. Isn't that amazing? Do you know we have a future? I mean, we'll witness that moment. You already know that we come back at the second coming with the Lord. His saints, the church, is already in heaven. And we're going to come back and we're going to witness that and rule and reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. But what are we doing right now? We're waiting, aren't we? Remember the scripture from Sunday in Philippians 3:20? For our citizenship is in heaven, which says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are eagerly waiting. Amen? Listen, verses 38 through 45, I'm not going to read all that, but what we find there is Israel, again, is unfaithful to God, who is always faithful to them and to us. So if you read it, it would be just again and again, they just sinned and sinned, so God disciplined them. So the results of all of this is it led them to cry out. Look in verse 49. It says, Lord, where are your former loving kindness, which you swore to David in your truth? They're saying, Lord, you've changed, but God hasn't changed, has he? His promises haven't changed. His love hasn't changed for him, and nor will they ever. But what happened is, if you read those verses, you'd find out, again, they turned their back upon God. Now drop down to verse 52. It says, and blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And thus ends book 3 of the Psalms. Let me say something to you tonight, because we're going to close early. I'm just a bit under the weather. But tonight, loved one, listen to me. When God makes a promise, he has to keep it. Did you know that? One thing that I do know in my life, and I'm not a smart person, I'm not a great intellectual, as you definitely know that. But the thing is that I know that God is faithful. And I know that the promises of God, I'm not the one who schedules the promises of God to happen. Do you know what I mean? But they're all true. And I know that God never lies. And I can count on the faithfulness of God. And when God makes a promise, he has to keep it. Do you know why? Hebrews 6:18. It is impossible for God to lie. Isn't that a great thing? It's not impossible for us to lie. Did you know that? No, it's impossible for him to lie. Everything God says is perfectly true and will stand true forever. Think about that. Every word from God will be true for all eternity. There is not one lie in his repertoire at all. None. He is a faithful God. He is our faithful God. It's impossible for him to lie. But here's the promise, the problem is that, you know, so easy for us, you know, that so we know the promises of God, but knowing them is not enough, loved one. You have to believe in your heart that God doesn't lie, that the Word of God is true. If you don't believe them, I'm not talking about up here, I'm talking about heart knowledge. If you don't believe them, did you know the promises of God are no value to us? We have to believe the promises of God. We have to fight. We have to renew our mind. We have to stand upon the promises of God 24/7. The Bible says in Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, here it comes again, who cannot lie, promised. Say that word with me, promised. What a great word. God who cannot lie, promised before time began, speaking about our eternal life. Boy, I'll tell you, listen, I look at that and I say, our Father, I have a Father that cannot lie. Isn't that great? I mean, listen, that's so wonderful. And I'm going to rest in that, because everything that God says again is true. And let me say something else. And everything that God says about you is true. Amen. If you're in Christ Jesus. Everything. I mean, listen, everything. We do have eternal life. The very minute you ask Christ to be your Lord, Jesus, save me, and you truly mean that in your heart, you have eternal life. Think about that. That's not something you're going to get. It's something that you already have. That's a promise of God. Have we overcome the wicked one? Yes, that's a promise of God. Are we more than conquerors? Yes, that's a promise of God. Will he never leave us nor forsake us or relax his hold upon us? No. Why? That's the promise of God. Will he supply all of our needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Not greed, but our need. You know what? Let me just stop right there. When we get into Philippians 4, you're going to find out that promise goes to the ones who had been giving. Okay? Don't that bless you? No. Oh, listen. I love that. It says, God who cannot lie, who promised before time began. Our sins really are forgiven. They really are forgiven. They really are as far as the east is from the west, loved one. Heaven really is a true place, a real place, and so is hell. Jesus is coming. That's a promise. He is coming. He is coming. Man, listen, it may be tonight, but he is coming. Isn't it going to be great when you have a body that doesn't get messed up? You know what I mean? Can you imagine never having a bad day again? Can you imagine not one single pain ever in your body? Matter of fact, that won't even be in your vocabulary. Do you know there's no medicine cabinets in heaven? You know what I mean? Do we still call them medicine cabinets? I don't know what we... Vanity? What are they called today? Well, I call them a medicine cabinet. You remember how guys, they used to have the little slit there and you'd drop your razor blades down it? and they go inside the wall? Anybody? Let me just see one hand that remembers that. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Mario's buying you steak after the deal now for that. No, listen. You know, I don't even know where I was going with that. And it doesn't really matter, but God loves me. How's that sound? No, listen. I'm going to read it again. Listen very carefully. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Did you know that God did that and the church never got to vote on it? Did you know that God did all that without our incredible wisdom? Do you know that God did that, and thank God, without Democrats or Republicans? You know, think about that. Listen, before God created the earth, he promised that those that were saved, us, he chose us. When did God choose us? Ephesians 1:4, that he chose us in him, in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world, before the world was ever created. Now listen to me, that means you were chosen in him before Adam and Eve ever sinned. Think about that. Boy, the promises of God. Oh, I thank you. You know, as I close, I want to give you one scripture. And I want you to think about it. It's a great scripture from Psalm 119:49. It says this. He says, the psalmist says, remember, he's talking to God. He says, oh God, remember the word to your servant. Remember your word. Remember your promises. He says, upon which you have caused me to hope. That is a great scripture. And my prayer tonight for you is this, that you would say, Father, tonight, whatever you're going through, whatever need that you're facing, whatever it might be in your life, loved one, listen to me. You need to go to the throne of grace, all of us, before we leave, quietly, within your own heart, and just say, Father, all that you've promised to us, would you remember that tonight? Because it's caused me to hope. It's caused me to have a certain hope, a fixed hope in my heart. And what we need to do sometimes is take God, what he said to us, the promises of God, and take them to the throne of God. Do you understand me? You take and say, Lord, you remember your promise to the one you promised it to me. Oh, Lord, I need that tonight. Here's a promise from God. It says that, you know, those who are weary shall not faint. Oh, Lord, that's what we need. Are you weary tonight? Then God says, believe the promise. You're not going to faint. You're not going to quit. I'm going to get you home. I made a promise. The good shepherd doesn't lose any sheep. Amen? You know, we look at the problems and the things that we're facing. I'm telling you, it could be I need employment or whatever it is, or sickness. Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I'm just reminding you of your promises that you've given unto me. Here's a great promise. Listen to this. In Luke 11:11, if a son, Jesus says, if he asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Here, take this rock, kid, and chew on that for a while. No, he doesn't do that. He says, well, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent or a snake instead of a fish? Or if he just asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now listen to me. Jesus is not speaking about the new birth. You understand me? He's speaking about the endowment from power, the power upon high that comes upon us to be a witness unto him, to serve him. Without the Holy Spirit, loved one, the divine helper, we can do absolutely nothing. Amen? Oh, how we need that endowment of power. Man, listen, why don't you ask God right now, our faithful God, Say, Lord, that's a promise. Let me read it to you again. He made a promise. He said, God says, Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give, that not earn, not work for, not beg for? He says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Father, tonight, we're taking that promise to your throne, the throne of grace. And we're reminding you, asking you to remember what you promised. Not that you've ever forgotten, but we forget. But we come there, Lord. Oh, right now. And we ask that we be endued with power all over again from upon high. Oh, God, that our hearts, as your word says, Ephesians 5:18, the command, be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us. Those that are ill, heal us. There's a promise. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus. You're the great physician. Reach out to whatever's in this chapel. Bring healing to their body. Bring peace to their minds. Bring joy to their hearts. Bring assurance to their being. Oh, God, where there seems to be no way, make a way. Oh, Lord, let your promises engulf the sheep at Calvary Chapel, because they're all true and you cannot lie, because you are our faithful God. Open doors. You said in your word that you're the door opener, and when you open it, no man can shut it. They're your children. There's some tonight. They need doors opened of opportunities of employment and whatever it might be. Lord, you promised. Open those doors, Lord. We're reminding you because they bring hope to our hearts. We love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor tonight. For you, oh God, you are our faithful Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Jesse's going to close us out with a quick song, and we're going to go home and go to bed. Amen. That's right. I pray you have a wonderful week, an awesome week. If you need prayer, you know, then come to the altar when the song is over, or whenever you want to come to the altar. Just put your mask on, and there'll be people here that'll be at the altar to pray with you and love on you and the rest of it. Amen. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord.